All right, there are three basic names for God in the Bible. Elohim, Adonai, and Jehovah. And Elohim we've talked about already, and we've also considered the various compound names. Elyon is a compound name. El Shaddai is a compound name. El Elyon means the Most High God. El Shaddai means the Lord our sufficiency. So that there are compound names for Elohim. And then there is Adonai. Now, whenever you come to Adonai in the Bible, it is spelled, at least in the King James, it is spelled Lord. And quite properly so. Because Adonai carries with it obedience to one who is our master. Let me give that to you in another overhead. Then there of this Jehovah, which we are going to get into also this morning, Lord willing. Adonai has two ideas in it. One, the master's right to expect absolute obedience. And that's why we use the word Lord. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. He is the Lord. Secondly, Adonai has the connotation denoting the servant's right to expect direction and provision. When I approach him as Adonai, I do so understanding that he has a right for me to be obedient to him. And I have a right to expect him as my master to give me direction and to provide for me. So it's interesting how the Bible, see, the Bible uses these names and they are not interchangeable. In the English language, we will have synonyms. And synonyms don't always mean they're exactly the same, but they're very near in their sameness. But that isn't so with the names of God. When God uses the word God, G-O-D, he does it for a purpose. When he uses the word Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, he does that purposefully. For example, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Where we have the first mention of Lord, Genesis 15. Now, yesterday we talked about the Most High God, remember? And that's in Genesis 14. In Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized, that's what class? Jehovah. The word of Jehovah came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Adonai Yahweh. Because whenever G-O-D is all capitalized, every word, every letter, that's Jehovah. Or if Lord is all capitalized, L-O-R-D, every letter, that's Jehovah. But capital L, small O-R-D, is Adonai. So here, he uses both words. Jehovah denotes power. Adonai denotes the master. Lord, relationship, service. Jehovah, power. Adonai, service, power, service. So what he says here, Abram said, Lord, denoting service, God, Jehovah, denoting power, what wilt thou give me? You see, the servant has a right to expect direction and provision. seeing I go childless. A good example of that is over in Exodus chapter 4. Will you turn there with me, please? Exodus, the fourth chapter. And once again, please keep this in mind, class, that Jehovah denotes power. He is my Yahweh. He will. But Lord denotes service. Now, in Exodus chapter 4, God told Moses to go and preach to the people, and Moses reneges. He says, I just don't have the ability. Now look how he addresses. And Moses said unto the Lord, Jehovah, O my Lord Adonai, I am not eloquent. So he addresses the all-powerful one, Jehovah, but he does so talking about his service. Because Adonai denotes service, obedience and service, and Jehovah power. So he says to Jehovah, O my Adonai, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. He was stuttered. And of a slow tongue. That's how he talked. And the Lord, denoting power, Jehovah, said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Jehovah, obviously. Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Jehovah, all powerful. Have not I, Jehovah? You see how he uses that? Now therefore, says Jehovah, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, now he changes it again. O my Adonai, because this is master-lord relationship. Send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. So do you see how those words are used? Very interesting. When you study the Bible, well, generally when you come to Lord or God or L-O-R-D, capital letters, you just say, well, that's God. But it's not quite that way. It is God. But it is God speaking as Yahweh, all-powerful, or Lord, who demands obedience and who has a right to expect direction, but he has a right to expect absolute obedience. Now, of course, because the word Adonai is mentioned thousands of times in the Word of God, we cannot fully cover that here beyond what I have said, but I think that will at least give us a start. One of the frustrating things about me teaching the names of God is to have to pass over so much material. I can just give you a sampling of what these are because we only have five mornings. In my church, I'm going to be spending about 25 or 30 evenings on the names of God. And so I'm sure you understand. But I think that you've got to see that the context of Adonai. So when you when you read the Bible in your own private reading, be very careful that you notice, is it G-O-D, capital G? That's the normal name for God. In the beginning, God created. Is it L-O-R-D, Adonai? God's talking now about service and about the fact that he's Lord and he's the master. We listen to him and we say, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Isaiah chapter 6. We'll look at one more passage and then we have to move along. Isaiah chapter 6. This, of course, is a classic passage, as you know, because chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord Adonai sitting upon a throne. You see, you got the master-servant relationship, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. You see, the King James has twain, but in my Bible, it's a King James translation, it says two, which helps us understand. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 it is, now look at that, Lord, talking here about Jehovah. The Lord, back in verse 1, is Adonai here. Lord Jehovah of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And he said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Yahweh, Jehovah of hosts. Because he is in absolute awe, because Jehovah speaks of a covenant relationship. It's a personal name for a man and God, Jehovah. And then now notice how he changes that nomenclature, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of Adonai. Now, what would you expect when you come to Adonai? Service. Saying, Whom shall I, what class? Send. That's service, isn't it? And who will go for us at service? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now, Adonai and Jehovah are the same person. Don't misunderstand that. Same person. Except when Jehovah is mentioned, it is the awe-inspiring great God, all-powerful. But when Lord is mentioned, the idea is He's the master, and I am the servant, and he calls the shots. And he said, Who will go? And I say, Lord, send me. So I hope that's enough. Write down, if you're taking notes, write down Joshua 5, 14. You have the same thing in Joshua chapter 5, where Joshua meets the Lord. And God tells Joshua, as Adonai, to go lead the people across the Jordan River and assuring him that he would be with him. So that is Adonai. Now, the next word, and I'm just going to kind of move through this rather hurriedly, is Jehovah. We already said a great deal about Jehovah. And let me say this, that when spoken of personally, Jehovah refers to the independence and the immutability of his character. He never says, I am the Jehovah, because there's only one Jehovah. I am Jehovah. And when Jehovah is mentioned, it speaks of a God who is changeless. That's the meaning of immutability. And he's independent, and he acts because he's God. All right? Now, secondly, when he speaks in relationship to man as a creature, he refers to Jehovah as the Creator or Lord God. Let me take you to some verses on that, all right? Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis 2. You know, the critics, when they come to Genesis, let me tell you what the unsaved critic does. When he comes to Genesis 1 and 2, he'll say, obviously, Genesis 1 is an Elohim chapter written at one time, and Genesis 2 is a Jehovah chapter written at a later date. And the critics, the unsaved, non-born-again Bible critics who are always attacking the Bible, who call themselves scholars, they will talk about Genesis as being fragments. And you have the fragment of Genesis 1, and then you have the fragment of Genesis 2. And the reason they say that is in Genesis 1, he is called Elohim. But in Genesis 2, he is called Jehovah. So they say it's obvious to anybody that reads it that the God of Genesis 1 isn't the God of Genesis 2. Because later on, people picked up the idea of Genesis 2 and they saw God in a different way. And what they didn't understand is that it's the same God, but in Genesis 1, it's Elohim as the creator, but in Genesis chapter 2, it is Jehovah, the creator, who has a personal relationship and personal interest in man. It really isn't that hard to understand. Look at it, please, in Genesis chapter 2. The heavens were finished and all the host of them, and God rests on the seventh day, and so on. And then verse 11, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, Jehovah, God, Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. So whenever God talks about man and creation, let me say this again. Whenever he talks about just creation, he uses the word God. But when he talks about creation and his man, it's Lord God. Because Lord God, L-O-R-D capitalized, is Jehovah. Let me just go through this chapter and show this to you, all right? It says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, Jehovah God, made the earth. Verse 7. And the Lord, Jehovah God, formed man. See, you have the man-God relationship. Verse 8. And the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, planted a garden eastward in Eden. Verse 9. And all the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. You see that change? Look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 18. And the Lord God said. So that when you come to Genesis 1, it's just God. But in Genesis 2, where you have this relationship to man and creation, it's Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed, 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep, 22. The Lord God has taken from the man, the woman. Chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord God hath made, and so on. So you have that throughout, the Lord God. Now, will you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. You have a little different nuance here. Exodus chapter 3. And in the third chapter of Exodus, and verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto God, Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God, Elohim, of your fathers, hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God, Elohim, said unto Moses, here's my name, I am that I am. And that probably is the best definition of Jehovah in the Bible. Jehovah. It is one which speaks of to be. We see him who he is, and he is one to become. Not that he's ever changing, but there is a progressive, continuous self-revelation of him. We get to know him more and more and more. I am who I am. And of course, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, or rather in the book of Revelation, the Lord said, I am he who liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and of hell. Revelation 1:18. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say the big name for God is Jehovah. Not Adonai, not Elohim, Jehovah. And you may worship Christ, but we worship Jehovah. And there is one God. Well, the Lord said in this passage, I am. And when you want to tell people who I am, to tell them, I am that I am. Now turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to have to close. John 8. In the 8th chapter of John, the Jews were saying, we have Abraham as our father. And the Lord says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Oh, that made the Jews mad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Actually, he was only 33, but I think he went through such turmoil that he looked 50. Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what class? I am. Jesus is Jehovah. And if the Jehovah's Witnesses didn't recognize it, the Jews sure did. Because they knew he claimed to be God. And in the Gospels, you see, the Gospel of Matthew shows that he is a king. The Gospel of Mark shows that he is a servant. The Gospel of Luke shows he's a man. That's why you have genealogies. The Gospel of John shows that he's what class? God. And throughout the Gospel of John, you have language like this. I am the light of the world, John 4:12. I am the resurrection, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, John 10:9-11. See, John says he's Jehovah. Now, how are you going to prove he's Jehovah? I am the water. I am the light. I am the vine. And my Father is the husbandman. John 15:1. He is Jehovah. The Christ of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And he's also my Lord, whom I serve. He is Jehovah, from whom I receive power, and he's a personal God. Now, I apologize to you for spending so much time on questions, because I didn't get through my material. Tomorrow morning, I've got one question on prophecy, on the tribulation, and if we're in it. And then after I get done with that, we are going to spend about 50 minutes trying to catch up on the names of God. Blessings on you. It's good to have you here this morning. You're dismissed.